Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today is another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. I love to answer your questions, and if you have a question you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. This question comes from Steve in Utah, who says, Victor, 2 years ago, I bought a subject to rental property that has a loan with it at a 2.25% interest rate fixed for 30 years. A great deal for me. However, back in November, I noticed the loan servicer had changed. Today, this loan would be underwritten at 6%. I did some quick calculations to determine the difference in value to the note holder with vastly different rates. The differences are massive, as shown in the chart, with the amount of difference in interest paid at the 5, 10, and 30-year points. The value of the loan, written at 2.25%, has to be at a massive discount from the face value. Also, a factor with this historically low rate is the unlikelihood that it'll be paid off with a refinance. My question is, who is dealing with this loss on paper? Who is bearing the consequences of holding a note that pays this low of an interest rate in this climate? Did the original loan servicer have to massively discount this loan to offload it to the new servicer? What is happening with these notes that are not saleable without massive discounts to face value? Is this the banking crisis in a nutshell? Whether it's the bank holding treasuries that were bought at very low rates, or notes like this one made at very low rates. Isn't the outcome the same? Well, Steve, this is a fantastic question. Generally speaking, when a bank completes a loan, they usually securitize the loan to get the loan off their balance sheet, and they usually do that fairly quickly after the loan closes. That means selling the loan into the commercial mortgage-backed securities market. The bank then usually retains the role of being the loan servicer. Some smaller banks outsource the loan servicing to another institution. The fact that your lender has changed loan servicer doesn't mean anything about the ownership of the underlying note or the security. You can think of the ownership of the note and the servicing of the loan, which is basically the collecting of principal and interest payments on behalf of the loan owner, as two completely separate things. They're sometimes the same party, but nothing says they have to be. Just because the servicer changed doesn't mean that the loan got sold. In the case of your loan, written with a long-term interest rate, there is no mark-to-market issue as long as the loan is held to maturity. And unless the loan gets sold again in the current market, nobody's taking a haircut. The loan can be held to maturity and the lender, in this case the owner of the note, will be made whole. But that doesn't mean that the owner of that paper got a good deal. In fact, I would argue that the bondholder is in a very weak position. A long-term loan of 30 years in duration is making a bet that inflation will be substantially below the interest rate for that entire 30-year period in order for the bondholder to earn a positive rate of return on their funds. And that's not a very good bet. The value of the loan is going down with each passing year. Now, so far, the banking crisis has only dealt with the mark-to-market spread with U.S. Treasuries and other forms of government paper that is being held on bank balance sheets. That specific issue relates to the somewhat arbitrary regulations that have been put in place by the Federal Reserve and the bank regulator. Lenders are not allowed to hedge their interest rate risk in bonds that are being held to maturity. If they keep the paper in the marketable securities category, then they have to report the paper loss on the difference between the book value and the market value of the securities. The irony here is that we're talking about unrealized losses on the safest paper out there. The real losses in the banking industry will stem from two factors that have not yet been fully realized. We have a number of regional banks that have experienced a run on the bank, starting with the scare that precipitated last March with Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, Silvergate, Credit Suisse, and now most recently First Republic. The rest of the regional banks have experienced not necessarily a run on the bank, but more like a power walk on the bank. There's been a steady outflow of deposits in favor of the too big to fail banks like Chase and Bank of America. And just like in the last round of consolidation of the banking industry that started with the Great Financial Crisis, the U.S. went from over 10,000 banks to about 6,000, and that number has continued to fall since then. But as we saw, the big banks didn't all of a sudden fill the void left by those smaller banks that disappeared. The big banks behaved as they always have. It's the smaller regional banks that have some of the highest exposure to commercial real estate in secondary and tertiary markets. The big banks did lend in commercial real estate in the institutional market, though. This would enable them to write a single large check and place a few hundred million dollars in a single transaction on a large office complex in a major city. So the other shoe to drop is going to be when the wave of defaults on those assets starts to happen. It hasn't happened yet. The first consequence will be that the equity is wiped out. And here too, these commercial loans were also securitized and taken off the bank balance sheet. The owner of the bond, which securitized the loan, is the one who is ultimately going to face the next haircut behind the equity. We are just at the front end of those defaults. We've seen a trickle from the likes of Brookfield Asset Management, but there's plenty more to come. And that's when the tide goes out. We'll see who's swimming without any cover. I want to thank you, Steve, for a fantastic question, and for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.